Good morning all. Can you hear me? Okay, great. Living with expectancy, Christ's return is imminent. A lost world is desperately needs to know before it's too late that the imminent return of Christ could be today. The Bible is clear, without any warning, Jesus Christ will return to rapture his saints and take them to heaven. As Christians, we are called to live prepared lives, ready to meet our Savior at any moment. Can I get the slides? I'm going to read from Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. I start off by reading Psalm 121, to set out the background that God is the creator and author of our world history. He planned all events in history and has revealed their meanings, purposes, and significance through his word, which is God's blueprint. God says in Isaiah chapter 46, 9 to 10, "For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me," declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." God is in control of the and the phase declaring the end from the beginning signifies that God is omniscient, all-knowing. So he can declare how history will end, because he will actively intervene in the world to accomplish his plans for the nations and for his people. So, as we go through God's blueprint, which I have called the Bible timeline, we will gain an understanding of the flow of events and their relationships to one another. But we need to understand first that before creation, God alone existed. Psalm 90 verse 2 says, "Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." God, therefore, is eternal. The biblical history of the earth begins with the creation of heaven and earth, and it'll end with its destruction in God's specific time. So I'd like to take you through a brief chronological history of the Bible timeline to put things in perspective now and for future events. Bible timeline. Over the past couple of weeks, Mark has been preaching through Genesis, starting at the creation of heaven and earth. And that is the beginning of God's biblical timeline. The timeline stretches from Genesis chapter 1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth," to Revelation 21, where the Apostle John sees the new heaven and new earth as the first heavens and the first earth are passed away, they are burnt up. According to biblical historians, the world was created around 4000 BC, and the book of Genesis, chapter 1 to 9, covers a period of some 1600 years, which includes the creation week, the fall of man, Enoch's translation to heaven, and the destruction of all living creatures, excluding those in Noah's Ark, by a worldwide flood. This period is often known as the Old World. After the flood, the renewed world restarted, and from Genesis 10 to Malachi, the books known as the Old Testament, covered a period of some 2,400 years, to the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. It includes the restart of civilization by Noah and his family, the Tower of Babel, where different languages emerged, the Abrahamic covenant, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, where Lot's wife looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt, the Exodus, where Moses and the Israelites roamed the wilderness for 40 years before entering the promised land. We then had the time of the judges, then the three major kings, Saul, David, and Solomon. Then Solomon's temple was destroyed, the Jews dispersed, the temple was rebuilt. Then came the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight," the birth of Jesus, and finally the triumphant entry into Jerusalem by Christ, the Messiah. 4,000 years have now elapsed, and we enter the New Testament era. From Matthew chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 20 covers a period of some 2,000 years plus to the physical second coming of Christ to the earth. This period includes the church age, known as the Age of Grace, which we are currently in at the moment. In the near future of this period, Christ will return to collect his bride in the air. The redeemed will attend the Bema Seat judgment in heaven, and then Christ will return physically to earth. During this time, the earth will experience the seven-year tribulation period. After Christ's physical return, he will defeat Satan at the Battle of Armageddon, set up his millennial kingdom, and will reign for 1,000 years in Jerusalem. This period will end with Satan being thrown into the lake of fire, and all unbelievers will face the great white throne judgment. Revelation 21 informs us that the present heaven and earth will be destroyed by fire and be replaced by new heaven and earth, and all the redeemed will enter eternity to be with the Lord forever. The Bible timeline ends in Revelation 22 with Jesus saying, "I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." So my message today is entitled Living with Expectancy. Christ's return is imminent. I've just gone through the history of basically what's happened in the world. God's blueprint or biblical history is all about Jesus and the redemption of mankind. Jesus came the first time lowly and riding on a donkey to serve, to seek and save sinners, to give his life a ransom for many at Calvary. And Jesus will come a second time as a warrior riding a white stallion to pour out God's wrath on our unbelieving world, set up his millennial kingdom, and usher all redeemed into eternity. Can I have the next slide, please? Period of grace. We are presently living in a period of grace, the church age. And since Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, it has lasted some 2,000 years, according to the biblical timeline. And therefore, it seems that we are fast approaching the expectancy of Christ's second coming. But is it imminent? Could it happen right now, at any moment? The New Testament is consistent in its anticipation that the return of Christ might occur at any moment. As apostle and first generation Christians nurtured their earnest expectation and fervent hope that Christ might come suddenly at any time to gather his saints to heaven. James, the half-brother of Jesus, writing what was probably the earliest epistle, expressly told his readers that the Lord's return was imminent. And he says in James chapter 5, 7 to 9, "Be patient, then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you'll be judged. The judge is standing at the door." Peter and the writer of Hebrews echoed the same expectations. And the Apostle John made the most confident pronouncement of all in 1 John 2, verse 18. "Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour." All these texts suggest that the early church expects Christ's imminent return ran high, as they use phrases such as "at the door," "at hand," "approaching," "coming quickly." However, today it appears that most Christians do not have that hope of Christ's imminent return in their hearts. Most people are apathetic about the second coming of Jesus Christ. One of the major reasons for this apathy is the fact that people have heard about it for so long that they have come to take it for granted. Oh yes, they believe that Jesus is coming back, but it is an event that will occur sometime in the distant future, as the Apostle Peter predicted in 2 Peter chapter 3:3-4. Knowing this, first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. But then the apostle continues in verse 8 and 9 to give a reason why Christ is delaying his coming. He says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Can I have the next slide, please? Period of expectancy. So, if the early church leaders believed in Christ's imminent return, shouldn't we also? So the question from us all is, are we living as instructed in Titus chapter 2, 11-13? For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. That is what we are told to do, to live with expectation, live with a yearning, and live with a hope that Jesus could return at any moment. So if Christ's return is imminent, we then need to ask a few questions, such as, do we know when Christ will return? And how will we know? What do we know about his coming? Firstly, do we know when Christ will return? The answer is no, an emphatic no. We cannot know the exact date of Jesus' return, as Matthew 24:36 states, No one knows that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. And although we do not know the day or the hour, we can look for the signs of the times. God is encouraging us to watch for the signs of the times, as he does not want any to perish. Because he is sending us a warning of impending judgment, he will be coming to deliver God's wrath to an unbelieving world. Now, throughout history, God has never poured out his wrath without first giving a warning. Let's look at some examples in the Old Testament. God sent Noah to warn the people of coming judgment. He preached 120 years, and the people laughed at him. The whole world of approximately 1 billion people perished. Only 8 were saved. God sent an angel to Abraham to warn Sodom and Gomorrah of impending destruction. They ignored him, and all were burned except for 3 and a pillar of salt. I repeat, God never pours out his wrath without first giving a warning. God is warning us today. Judgment is coming. So are you taking this warning seriously? You might say, I'm okay, I know Jesus. But the question is, does Jesus know you? Are you born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb? Jesus tells us in Matthew 7:13-14, that not many will be saved. He said, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So the question that each and every one of us needs to ask is, have I gone through the small gate? Am I travelling on the narrow road? Only you can answer that. And remember that God knows your heart. So God is encouraging us to watch for the signs of the times, just as Jesus said to the Sadducees and Pharisees in Matthew 16, after they asked him to give them a sign, and Jesus replied, when evening comes, you say it'll be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning, today will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the sign of the times. You are a wicked generation. Question, is our generation not the same? Are we not wicked? So we know from the Bible that Christ is coming back, but what signs of the times should we be looking for? The following is a list to consider. The sign of nature. Natural disasters are increasing in frequency and intensity, such as earthquakes, volcanoes, famines, plagues. And if you noticed, a week or two ago, Afghanistan had an earthquake. Over 1,000 people died, and over 1,500 people were injured. They're getting intensity. Sign of society, immorality, violence, lawlessness, just as the days of Noah. Are we not living in those times at the moment? The sign of spiritual apathy, such as false Christs, false prophets, false cults, the falling away of the church. Look at the number that we have in the church. The church numbers are falling rapidly. The sign of technology. The technological advantages has exploded the century. Take transport as an example. The mode of transport at the turn of the century was by horsepower. Now we have cars, bullet trains, planes, and rocket ships. Exponential growth. The sign of world politics. Look at the world today. Corrupt politicians who create wars, strife, and introduce laws that kill millions of innocent babies yearly via abortions. And the sign of Israel, the nation of the Jews that is now back in their ancestral land, who have revived their original languages and are presently being regathered. God said that he would make Jerusalem a burdensome stone to the world at the end times. Is that not happening today? Jesus is pleading with us to expect his return at any time. It is imminent. The signs of the times are like birth pains, increasing in frequency and intensity. Remember, God never pours out his wrath without first giving a warning. Secondly, what do we know about his coming? I believe that passages in the scripture teaches that the second coming of Jesus will be completed in two phases. Firstly, he will come in the air for his bride, his saints. They will be caught up or raptured in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, as explained in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13-18. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep, according to the Lord's own word. He tells you that we who are alive, who are left, till the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Paul goes on to say that this will happen very quickly in 1 Corinthians 15, 51-54. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. The church then will attend the bema seat in Christ and receive their rewards, and then will participate in the wedding supper of the Lamb. At the same time, the earth will go through a seven-year tribulation period, as recorded in Revelation 6, chapter 6 to chapter 20. After this, the Lord will complete his second coming by physically coming to earth, by being seen on all on the earth. Revelations 1:7 tells us, "Look, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the people of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be." And Zechariah, in chapter 14, verse 4, says, "On that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives was split in two from east to west, forming a great valley, with half the mountain moving north and half moving south. So we have seen in scriptures that Jesus is coming back and how he will come back. But we don't know when, except that it's imminent. So are you ready? Are you prepared for his coming? Can I have the next slide, please? Period of preparation. For believers. As believers, we need to live with a high expectancy of the imminent return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We must realize that we are not promised tomorrow. The Lord not only knows the number of hairs on your head, which is found in Matthew 10:30, he also knows your present thoughts, and he has determined the length of your days. Remember, this is not our home. We are just passing through. So what have you done with the talents that God has given you? Have you used them and increased them? Or have you ignored them and buried them? Your reward depends on your achievements. As believers, we are told to live in 2 Peter 3:11 to 12. You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Holy lives relates to the relationship of God. We need to live in a way that is consistent with his word. And godly lives relates to our relationship with other believers. We need to love, respect, and not hurt the body of Christ. We are all traveling to the same destination, and therefore we need to help each other rather than hinder them. Dr. Luke encourages us in Luke 21:28 when he says, "Stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Jesus wants us always to be ready, as living as today is our last day. Now for unbelievers, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, then today is a day of salvation. God says in Isaiah 45:22, "Turn to me and be ye saved." When you die, there are two destinations: eternity with Jesus in heaven, or eternity in hell, where the fire is not quenched. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Therefore, to have a relationship with Jesus, you need to do the ABC of salvation. Admit that you're a sinner. A. B. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and that God raised him from the dead. And C. Call upon the name of the Lord, that Jesus Christ is Lord. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, do this now to save yourself an eternity in judgment. If you have any queries regarding salvation, speak to me or one of the elders or one of the leaders. Don't delay. Time is short. So in conclusion, the time is short. Jesus could come at any time. His return is imminent. And I end with a verse in 1 Peter 4:7-8. "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love one for another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." Amen.